Thank you so much, and good evening, everyone. It's good to have you with us around the table here this evening, and it has been a good day. It's been a bad day for some, but it's been a good day for others. And for me, I got to do something that I haven't been able to do in a while, and that was to get my boat out and go around the lake a little bit. And I call it fishing, but it was more boat riding, I think, than fishing, because I wanted to get a little time on the work that I had done on the motor, plus the fact that I wanted to burn off some of that old fuel that I've had in my boat for a long time. So after I fished a little while, I got to boat riding, and there wasn't anybody on the water. I think everybody had their good time last week, so I had it pretty much by myself today. And, that was by design anyway, but, be that as it may, we'll continue on and take what we can get when we can get it. And, everything worked. It worked fairly well, to not have been run in a couple of years very much. Tonight's study we're still in Zechariah, and we're still in the 8th chapter. We got done with about half of it last time. We did 11 verses, last week, and we're going to try to go through 12 through 23 and finish up Zechariah 8 tonight. And this is study 138, by the way, in our study on walk. Tonight's study is the 12th of July, 2017. And, 7 years ago, I was thinking it was 8 years ago, but 7 years ago yesterday, they took off Ann's first foot. So that was a kind of a milestone that I was looking through some notes I had today, and it was 7 years ago yesterday. So I had prepared the notes for something. I really don't know what, but going through all this stuff and checking it out and looking at it, I said, yeah, 7 years instead of 8. So we're going to start with verse 12 tonight, and 12 has to do with, from 12 on through 23, basically has to do with God addressing the remnants of those that came back to Zion and to make promises and make addresses and give encouragement and do all these things. And then when you get down to verse 20, he talks about the nations that are going to be coming to Jehovah's house. And from 20 to 23, it deals with that, in that situation. So, we left off last week with the but now that we find in Zechariah, in the 11th verse. We'll just go back and read it again. And it says, "But now I will not be unto the residue of this people, as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts." God had been through great turmoil with his people and sending them away and them being gone for the 70 years. And I'm sure he had great thoughts as to what he could do, rather than what he would do. And I guess we're all really appreciate God for being that way in his understanding, because in the situation with man and with man's dealings, and even those that God chose, he had to put up with a tremendous amount of stuff that shouldn't have been even had been thought of, but yet the adversary is there, and the adversary is going to do what he can do to thwart the plan of God and try to do his thing. And certainly this is what we're basically reading about tonight. And so the people are back. There has been a restoration in Jerusalem, but not so much with the temple yet. Some, but not fully. You've even got to go to the Haggai to find the understanding, because the people came back and God says, you built your sealed house and mine is yet to be finished. You know, so, and he said, I'm going to send people to finish it up. And this is part of it, really and truly. But in order for all this to take place, a certain amount of what I would call ordinary living has to take place. Of course, the crops need to be planted. The vineyards need to be restarted. And all these things need to be tended to that they moved away from, and they grew up or just went wild. And you know, Mother Nature has a way of taking care of things. If you don't believe it, just walk away from something a few years and come back and realize that it won't even look like the same place again. I know the last year or two ago, Billy and Juanita's been going back down to some of the places in Friendship where they had lived before. And they would be quick to tell you, if they could, that it don't even look like the same place anymore. See, it's went on for 60 years, even there. And it's changed so much, it's hard to recognize the place. So I think we all agree that that's the way it works, the way it is. So let's get back to verse 12. It says, for the seed shall be prosperous. The vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their dew. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all of these things. And here he calls the people the remnant. But if you look back up into verse 11, and you will see, he says, I will not be unto the residue of this people. So you see, there's a different look upon it. Now, even with God's word, we can see a difference in the look and in the way of this, the forming of these words by the Holy Spirit's been put down. We can see that God has already changed his mind somewhat without even, just by one word that he used different in that situation. So let's break it down a little bit. It says, for the seed shall be prosperous. Now here, when we go to talking about seeds, the seeds, are literally basically three things. is both the body, man's body, the seeds that come back. God has already said that Jerusalem is going to be inhabited by the young and the old and all this. We read about that last time. And so, the people that God chose to be His, He's going to prosper that body of people. And He's also going to prosper the animals that they have either brought back with them or that they have somehow or another rounded up or gotten. And also the ground. The three things. The people's body, the animals, and the ground. And then it says also that the vine shall give her fruit. Well, the vine here is always two things. And when you look at the Old Testament scripture, you need to continually think about the vine. And you also need to think about the olive tree, which is basically, I don't know if it's really considered a tree or a vine, but it's for two things. When God uses the word vine, there He's talking about oil, and He's also talking about drink or wine. So these vines are going to give off the oils and the wines. Now, a lot of times we think about oil as just being basically olive oil, in which it was. But there's more oils in the world than just the olive oil. And every time when you look at the word, the vine here, you need to think about the fact that these people, even in today's time, were sitting on the largest amount of oil that ever had been. And so they have prospered greatly in the fact that what God had given them, or the place that He had given them to live, wound up being very oily in that respect, if I can use that word. So, you know, and we know now that the economy of the world is built around the fossil fuel, if you will. But we need to not forget that the olive was great, and that the grapes were great also in that situation. And it says also, and the ground shall give her increase, or the earth shall give her increase. We'll multiply the planted seed. And, you know, there's many, many seeds that are planted and gives off multiple numbers back to mankind. That's how we grow our food. That's how we live. And He said, and the heavens shall give their dew. Now, you know, early on in Scripture, we realize that until the flood of Noah came, it had never rained. But the dew gave the amount of water that was needed to take care of the earth. So God still has His system in effect that way. And so we're talking about water aplenty here for what He's going to give them. And He says, and I will cause the remnant or the residue of this people, Israel, to possess or to have all these things. So, and it's his to give. And not only at that point, but also, you know, looking to the future prosperity of these people and God fulfilling his will in giving them things that they did not deserve back. So let's go to 13. Excuse me. And it says in 13, and it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. So here we find that of future things that we have been talking about, and Ronnie's been doing that in his study, and we realize that there's a lot of things that's been mentioned and it hasn't been come to pass yet. It says, for it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse, according as you were considered despised or a vile people. That curse there is 70-45 in the Strong's, and that's Kilolaw. Kilolaw. And it means despised or vile among the nations. Well, when they were coming into them and they were doing all these idol worship and all that, it didn't seem to be too bad. But whenever they moved in with them, it's a different story. A lot of times you don't really know anybody till they move in with you.
Yeah.
And so this is a great lesson that we all need to still remember. Among the heathen or among the nations, the two tribes mentioned here, O house of Judah and the house of Israel. But this basically deals with all 12 tribes. It breaks it down to the two tribes in Judah and the 10 tribes that were in Assyria. And it says, so I will save you and you shall be a blessing. And this again is looking toward a future fulfillment. Which centers upon the condition back in verse 8, where it says, and I'll bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem and be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. So we can't forget what we've read last time or the time before that. And it says also this thing, fear not, but let your hands be strong. And God has said this before, and he's saying it again. And he's saying it because these people that are coming back, he is expecting them to do the work that he wants done. So in order for them to let their hands be strong means to do the work given you by me to do. And this is God's look at it, if you will. And I certainly think that was exactly what these people were sent back to do. They were sent back to start again and build the temple back, because God, in his desire, is wanting to dwell again with his people. 14. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not. So this is the Lord of hosts here, is Jehovah Sabaoth, and I like to say the Lord of heaven and earth, because it basically boils down to the same thing. And, you know, and rather than getting too complicated with that, everything was created by him, and everything that we have is his. And so, he is actually the owner.
Amen.
Of where we live, the earth. We may have a deed and title to it, but he is the true owner. We need to not ever forget that. And he says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, or heaven and the earth, as I thought to punish you, and that is Shadak to bring calamity upon you. When your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts. So you see, he says, when your fathers gave me occasion to blaspheme or to burst out in my rage.
Did on
occasion. Saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented. 51:62. And I repented not. And that's Nalkam. It means to have pity or sorrow or self-comfort. There's three or four things there. There's a pretty good little list, I think, in that thing that went on there. But it means to have pity. Or to have sorrow or self-comfort. So, if he repented not, it wasn't pity, and it wasn't sorrow, so it must have been self-comfort. So you see how one word can mean different things. Because most of the words that God uses, you know, is either has a positive or a negative connection, or it's either literal or it's figurative. And that makes a difference too in that situation. So, you know, as we look at it, we need to realize, understand that God's word is not just so many words, but it is there for a purpose. And it's there for a need. It's there for us. That we need to know and understand and look at it and glean from it these things that we just sometimes gloss over and read and don't really have time to stop and say, well, what did I just really read? Didn't you have in verse 15 another but now? No, it says, so again. Is there any difference between that and the but now? Okay. So again, have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah? Fear ye not. So he says, I've had my little bit of self-pity or self-comfort. Now I'm going to have pity and I'm going to have sorrow on you guys. He said, my self-comfort got filled with my wrath toward your fathers. So he said, so I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem. So he changed his mind. And God certainly has the right to do that. A lot of people think, nah, wait a minute. He's same today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Well, he is. On the certain things, but on the things dealing with mankind and dealing with those that he chose to do certain things, and when they did not do it, well, then there was sometimes a price that had to be paid.
Especially Especially when a lot of it was conditional.
Yeah.
I'll do this if you'll do this.
So here we go. And again, or but now, same as in verse 11. I have thought in these days, in Zacharias' days, to do well, to allow my grace, and to allow my grace to penetrate into my city, Jerusalem, and to the house of Judah, those Levites, and Benjamites, and Judahites that are there. And it says, because I have allowed my grace to penetrate there, he says, fear ye not, because it is to comfort and to keep you. My grace will comfort you, and my grace can keep you. And if God says it, you can depend on it.
Amen.
Now, let me turn my page and we'll get to verse 16. Now, verse 16 and 17 deals with the inhabitants' duties. You remember when God says to keep your hands strong? I'm going to give you a job to do. I don't want anybody to not be able to do their job. Okay, 16 says this. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgments of truth and peace in your gates. Okay, so here we're getting down to the fine points of these things now. So it says, these are the things that ye shall do. This is God's list. And I think he's saying to these people, here it is. I've got a to-do list. You know, we all have these to-do lists. I used to call it a mama-do list, but now, it's all a Cecil do list. Now, you got a moment to do that for no more. So God says, I've got a list. And this is what I want you to really bear down on. Speak ye, every man, every ish. So if God gives a man a job to do, he goes from being an Enosh to an Ish. Because if God has given you something specific to do, then he is your boss man. And he now has caused you to become an Ish. If you've never thought about it before, put your thinking cap on. Get to thinking about it. I have a lot of time to think now. And so, I'm bringing things out here that you may not have thought about, because I'm sitting around the table by myself looking at all this stuff and going through everything that I can think of. And so, I've often wondered about the difference between an Enosh and an Ish. But if God gives you a specific thing to do, you have become an Ish. You have become like the angels of heaven in the sense that you're doing God's bidding for a specific purpose. What's the difference? I don't see any. Now, you might disagree with that, and it's okay. But keep your thinking cap on. Speak ye every ish the truth. And the truth there is certainty and stability. That is 571 in the Strong's and its E-Myth. Speak every man the truth to his neighbors. And the neighbors there is, I think it's 7453 Ra. I did this study Saturday. So, you know, my writing is about 4 days old, so it loses a little bit of something in the days there. So it means companion, kin, friend, and or associate. It doesn't really mean the guy next door. So speak ye every man the truth to everyone that you have any dealings with. Why would you not? If God has given you all this stuff and telling you, I'm going to take care of it. Fear not. That's part of the thing, because man would rather live a lie than to abide within the truth. And it says, execute the judgment of truth. And we went through this before. Judgments there is much thought. You know, if you're going to make a judgment on the behalf of God, you need to give it a lot of thought. If you're an ish of God and he says to execute your judgment, you better really think about what it is you're doing. Because you're doing it on his behalf. Make your judgments long with much thought and with kindness. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And that peace in your gates is to have no turmoil within your residence, within your place of power. Does that make sense? I think so. Verse 17. It says, let none of your imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. Okay. So we're getting down to the nitty gritty. He says, you know, if you're not truthful with the people that you deal with, then I'm not so sure I can use you. He said, and let none or not any of you think to do evil in your hearts. That's the way I understand it. Within your being. No one needs to think to do evil. Within your mind or within your heart or whatever you, however you feel, that shouldn't be a problem. Especially if you're doing it in the behalf of God. Against his neighbor. Evil in your heart against his neighbor. Okay. And I wrote in my notes, isn't that a grand thought? Wouldn't it be a wonderful place to be if everybody took that position with each other?
Yep.
It would be heaven on earth almost, wouldn't it? Oh, whoa.
Mm-hmm. Very simple rule.
Okay. And it says, and love no false oath. Well, we got to go somewhere else to get this out. Let's go back to Leviticus for just a minute, one more time, because we've been there before. And We've read this before. And I don't know where I can find it tonight. Leviticus, what did I say, 6? Yeah, Leviticus 6. Okay, if you have a companion Bible, it is on page 139. Well, let's just read 1 through 5 in chapter 6. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbors in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or hath found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely in any of these that a man doeth sinning therein, then it shall be, because he hath sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he had deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found. Of all that above which he hath sworn falsely, he shall even restore it into the principal, in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. He said when he goes to make that trespass offering, he better make it good. Even if he found something that belonged to the neighbor and he kind of stashed it away in his own crib somewhere, said, no, I ain't seen it. God says, oh boy, I don't go for that stuff. And that's what he's talking about here in 17. So he says about the oath, a false oath. And love no fault, so don't get involved in anything like that in 17. He says, for all these things that I hate, all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. And he says, are the things do I hate, or those things will get you into much trouble, saith Jehovah. Let's go to 18. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, Zechariah, saying, and this is the Lord of heaven and earth, same situation. And then you go to 19, it says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts. This is continuing on in 19. It says, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feast. Therefore, love the truth and peace. So, again, it goes back to these things that we have found, that when certain things happened, that God made them fast days or fast months. So the fast of the fourth month we can find in Jeremiah 52. And that's our July, or their sacred month of Tammuz. This is the sacred calendar now. And this was the time that Jerusalem was being broken up and sent, and the people were being sent away. Okay? And the fast of the fifth month was in Jeremiah 52 also. And this was August, our month of AB, Ab, whatever. They call it in the Hebrew. And this was when the temple and the houses of Jerusalem were burned. And God got rid of all this stuff by fire. And the fast of the seventh month, which is in Jeremiah 40, verse 8. And this is our October. And the month is Tishri. When Jedaliah was slain by Ishmael. And so then you got the last one is the fast of the 10th month. That would be our January, or their month, of Tebeth. And this was when the king of Babylon set his face against Jerusalem and started pilfering Jerusalem to finish it out, to get rid of all the people there. So it says, this shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness. It is a time to remember and to reflect and to give thanks and to rejoice for a new start. It's kind of like our Thanksgiving. And he had four times during that those years that he wanted them to remember all this stuff. He talks about the cheerful feast or the appointed feast therein or so in. He says, have this love, have this affection, the love, the truth, and the peace. Then the truth, love there is affection. 157 in the Strong. And truth again is 571. That's certainty and stability. And peace is rest. If God says you will have peace, it means that things are at rest as far as he is concerned. Then we get down to 20. It says, thus saith the Lord of heaven and earth, it shall yet come to pass. Okay, that tells us it's going to be a time which will yet come. That there shall come people, or many people, and the inhabitants or dwellers of many cities or different places with cities. So, this is again dealing with the people that are going to come into the temple area, and this is the very first verse of it. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. And it says, and this I guess is Zechariah talking to those people, and he says, I will go also. So the inhabitants, the visitors, or the dwellers from other places, or any one city, or any city, shall go to visit another city, saying or telling them, let us go speedily, or by all means we need to go to pray, to ask Jehovah's favor by prayer before the Lord in the house of God, in the house of the God of heaven and earth, and to seek for to look unto the Lord of hosts, the Lord of heaven and earth, saying, as Jeremiah would say, I will go also. I will go again also. And it would be a privilege in that situation. And he says in 22, and yea, many people, strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem. Now that, you know, you don't have to be an attorney to figure this out. He said, there's many people or multitudes of powerful Gentiles that are going to come here. And they're going to seek, or they're going to look for or unto the Lord of hosts. They're going there to pray before the Lord in the house of God. They're going to look, and what they're going to see is they're in the house of God, because God has promised them he would be with them and that he would abide there. They're going to see the light, and they're going to see the smoke that fills the holy place to the brim, just like it was before when they dedicated the temple to begin with. When God's presence went in the temple, that light and smoke filled that building. Okay, so let's get down to 23, and we're running out of time. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hope out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. You get the picture here? They were always supposed to be the picture of God with these people, and they had let it fall so far away that nobody realized anymore what their duty was as being a spokesman for the God of heaven and earth. So it says this, and the fulfillment of this is yet to play. Take place. It says, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men, there's going to be 10 of God's choosing, shall take hold. Take hold there is kaza. And it means to fasten on or to seize. Out of all the languages or the tongues of the Gentile nations, even they shall take hold or seize the flap or the hem of the skirt of these Jews. That will be the time that has been chosen when a Jew saying, or he is understood to be part of the family of God, and these people are going to say to him, we will go with you, or we will join unto you, for we have heard, or we now understand, that Jehovah, that the God of heaven and earth, is with you.
Remember, that's what Rahab said.
And so this brings the things back around with the new folks that are there to where God says, I can't use you again. Isn't that a great thought? That is low down, as low as they got in God's mind. And he says, look what you've done to my cities. Look what you've done to my temple. Look what you've done with all this bull that you brought onto yourself. Here again, if you'll follow these instructions, people will come here saying, I know that you're God's man and that he's with you and I want to join with you. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul did during the book of Acts? If it wasn't anyone else, the Apostle Paul and these people could look at Paul and then see and realize and understand that there was something different about him. And what the scriptures say, try the things that differ. Well, Paul was different. Very different. He was the Jew of the Jew.
They had the proof of it in the signs, miracles, and wonders.
Absolutely. And he had the strong hand. Paul had the strong hand. Okay, we'll pick up with Zechariah 9 next time and go on. I thought this was really a good study in the situations of what was going on here and what had been going on and what God was setting forth in place and giving these people love and grace and peace and truth and all of the wonderful things that he can give them along with promise of bountiful harvest and bountiful families, bountiful animals,
health
and all these things. Great, great. It's just a great study.
Amen.
In its entirety in the rest of chapter 8 here. So thank you for being with us tonight, and I hope that you could see that. I certainly saw it very clear in my mind, and I hope I could convey it to you in the same manner. Because if I can't, then I'm not the issue that God would have me to be. But I think that this is what he wanted me to tell you, to bring it forth in the way that we did it.
Amen.
So thank you very much. Continue to pray for us. We continually need your prayers.